Patricia McGregor, it's so great to talk with you.
It's great to speak with you as well.
Now, you were an actor, and then you turned to directing, I understand, with a production of All My Children, My Africa at SMU. And storytelling and engagement have always been very important to you. What drew you to this particular project as co-author and director?
Well, first I got a call from Coleman Domingo, and when I get a call from him, I always answer the call. And he said that he and Zach Berkman had been talking about Nat King Cole, how much they loved Cole, and how they wanted to do a piece that was about him, and in some ways about examining what it was to wear that mask of grace even in the face of adversity. And so I thought, okay, between Coleman Domingo and Nat King Cole, that's a dance card that I want to get on the floor for that. And I also thought People's Light would be a great place to experiment and dig in. Sometimes when you're making a new piece, if you're in New York, you're very aware of the TikTok clock of, you know, when is the Times coming and, you know, what the critical lens will be on it. But it felt like coming out here and working with a really exceptional group of artists to explore this work in a safe environment, to be able to ask some really risky questions and examine both the beauty and the legacy of this icon, but how the things that he was wrestling with in the idea of grace and fire, how this sits on the nerve today. This seemed like a really great place to start that journey.
And what was the process? Is it devised theater, or did you work on a script that you then gave the actors?
We worked on a script that we gave actors. So working with Coleman is a really glorious hothouse of creativity. Because of our schedules, we would say, okay, we just need to put some dates on the calendar. All right, by this date, we're going to have the first 10 pages. By this date, we'll have the first draft. By this date, we're going to meet in San Diego. At the time, he was in Mexico filming Fear the Walking Dead, and I was living in San Diego. And so I would go down to Mexico for a weekend, and we would write furiously, and we would drink wine and talk about the world and talk about Nat King Cole, and then wake up in the morning and write some more. And then he came up to San Diego. We had just these very quick, kind of frenetic workshop sessions where we would pour all of our ideas. We knew we needed a Nat and a Sammy. And so when we got both Daniel Watts and Dulé Hill to agree, we said, well, now we need to do a workshop with them. And because they're both tap dancers as well, we said, well, what is the language of tap? How do their skills as performers and the language of tap, how does that relate to this piece? So ultimately now, there is a script that is primarily driven by Coleman and I, but in response to some of the feedback and the talents and the questions that our collaborators have.
So the play focuses on the year that Nat King Cole had a TV show. And you mentioned that his public persona was of this amazing performer who had such grace. What story are you telling, and is it based on interviews and what you think actually did happen or what you imagine might have happened?
It's both. So I feel like a lot of the interviews, both of people who knew him, Nat himself, especially there's an article he wrote just after the show closed where he famously said, Madison Avenue is afraid of the dark, which had to do with the fact that despite massive popularity, they couldn't find a national sponsor because a lot of companies, or, you know, Madison Avenue in quotes, thought that there would be companies who were afraid of losing their white subscription in the South. And so they thought, oh, it's too dangerous to be the advertisers, the lead advertisers on this show with a black male host. And so we drew from all of this historical research, and we're actually now in touch with his brother and his twin daughters, and so we're interested in, like, the man himself, but we're also interested in the parts of him that weren't always shown. So there is a kind of imagining of the play primarily takes place on the eve of the taping of his last show. And yet on that eve, we imagine that a lot of things that we didn't see on air were going on in his mind. And so we give ourselves a creative journey to be able to kind of think what might be going on underneath there and how does that relate to today. I often say I love the play Winter's Tale because I feel like the world is moved forward both because of the grace and forgiveness of Hermione and also the fire and truth telling of Paulina. And I think Coleman and I are both people who have felt very fortunate to achieve a lot of success in our lives and feel like there are a lot of rooms open to us, but there's also a lot of devastation and injustice in the world that grace itself does not exclusively solve. And so I feel like we are always wrestling with, as artists, what it is to open your hand and hold out that olive branch of peace and grace, and then in the other hand, have a kind of fist of fire, and that you actually need both, I think, in order to move the line of justice forward in the world. And so we kind of put our own feelings about that into our imaginings of what he might have been feeling that night. And so while it's rooted in history, we also have our projected imagination, and that gives us some freedom in a kind of fever dream way to think, what might he be thinking that night?
And people need to understand that under that grace was tremendous strength and pain.
Absolutely.
Because he suffered so much of the injustice that many people of color suffered at that time.
Yes. And still suffer today. You know, I mean, it's interesting to know we have it at a certain point in the play, the Christmas song, his beautiful Christmas song plays. But after having experienced the play, I think you might know a lot more about what it might take for somebody to sing with that grace, and that you actually hear strains of pain and strength, even despite the lift of the grace. And, you know, he was a man who he was attacked by the KKK on stage. He had to go through back doors. He lived in Baldwin Hills in Los Angeles in a beautiful mansion, and he had nigger burned on his front lawn. I mean, I think sometimes people want to look nostalgically back at the 50s, and it's like, no, that America was drastically problematic. That America, you know, the ugly face of racism and sexism and all of the isms were very alive in that America. And so we can't just pretend to show the veneer without also showing the cost. And I feel like culturally, there's a way in which the jewels of Black culture can sometimes be celebrated without understanding the cost of the mining it took to get to that place of beauty. And in music, pain transformed through the music. And so we wanted to make it more complicated. I think there's a way in which we could have just told like a light, beautiful Nat King Cole story, but I don't think that honors all of the complications and the integrity and the journey of the man and his music and how it can hopefully relate and be helpful today.
And people don't really often get those big issues unless you bring it down to human scale. So who is Nat King Cole for you? And has your idea of him changed?
Nat King Cole was like Christmas morning. You know, he was one of the albums that we played in the holidays, and whether we were having a great year or a hard year, you always knew we saved some of his albums for just around the holidays. And there was such a feeling of family and elegance and love and warmth every time we played his albums. So he's related to so many wonderful, wonderful childhood memories. And I think what this piece has done in creating this piece has just, it's deepened my understanding of the man and the beauty of that voice, that the beauty of that voice doesn't just carry kind of the lightness, it also carries the pain, it carries the journey. I mean, I had never really listened to the words of Straighten Up and Fly Right, which was his first major commercial success. And it's actually based on a folk tale that his father, who was a preacher, preached in one of his sermons. And it's actually surprisingly controversial, you know, or I wouldn't say controversial, but it's surprisingly like there's an activism in it. And I think sometimes people don't see Nat as an activist. And he would say, my music is my activism. But actually some of the music that he sang, like Straighten Up and Fly Right, which is really questioning a system that, you know, it has the metaphor of a buzzard and a monkey. And the buzzard kind of coaxed animals to come on his back, and then he'd get them up in the air and he'd tip them over, kill them, and then, you know, go in and feast on the easy kill. you hear straighten up and this monkey gets on his back and the buzzard tries to flip him over and the monkey says, oh no, and wraps his tail around the buzzard's neck and says, nope, you're not going to get me that way. And so I had bopped along to Straighten Up and Fly Right a million times, but never thought, oh, it's actually much more complicated than it might appear on the surface. And so, I've just grown to appreciate him even more.
It sounds as if music has its own role in this production, almost as a character.
Absolutely. I think at first we said, well, is it a play with music? But then we said, no, it's actually a musical. And because how the songs function to allow a character to make a discovery. And I think music and tap, you know, allow people to kind of unmask or put the mask on. Because sometimes some of the holiday songs intentionally, Sammy might be trying to provoke Nat to kind of speak a certain truth that might be difficult. And then Nat decides, nope, I'm going to sing this holiday song and we're all going to feel better and we're all just going to be lifted in this moment. And that has its place, but it only has its place when you're also kind of pushing forward for the most just world so that the most people can enjoy that music, that lift, that moment that we should all have a right to experience.
Do you have a hope for what how the audience will experience it and what they'll take away?
I hope the audience takes away a sense that when you have a platform, you should use it to do the best justice that you can. I mean, when you have a platform, I think one of the central questions is, when you have a platform, what do you do? And so I hope the audience leaves singing Nat's songs, but understanding that there's more behind those songs than they had ever imagined. And hopefully that conversation will spark them to want to do whatever act they can do to make a contribution, both with grace and with fire. We're not saying we know what your front line should be. But we're saying everyone has a certain kind of front line, and activating whatever your contribution is really vital. And so I hope people leave feeling empowered and emboldened to take whatever step they need to take to make their true voice and their true song sing in the world that makes the world a better place.
That's great. And it's also important, you made the point earlier that these issues are still alive today.
Absolutely.
And however nice things may seem on the surface, you have to look beneath the surface to see if things are really okay.
Yes. I mean, Picasso says, let me think something like, art is the lie I tell so I can see the truth. And I feel like that there's a degree to which creating a story about this historically rooted man, but landing it on the nerve of today, hopefully is a way that we can say some of these things have changed and move forward, and some of the issues that he was dealing with, we are dealing with absolutely today. And I think the piece allows the intersection of the past and the present to really sing at times in harmony, and at times there's a kind of tension there that hopefully will allow people to think about then and now in a provocative way.
That's great. Thank you so much,
Thank
Patricia
you so
McGregor.
Much. Such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.